Thanks for listening to iTruths, the teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church of Texarkana, Texas. I'm Richard Hornock, the senior pastor of Fellowship Bible Church, and the following is a message that I delivered during one of our Sunday morning worship services. I trust that it will be beneficial to your walk with Jesus Christ. Thanks again. I am not a shrewd investor. I remember when Vicki was working and I was going to seminary. She worked for IBM and she said, they got an employee stock option. Should I be part of it? And I'm like, that's just gambling. So for the first 6 months she worked there or so, we didn't buy any stock. Stupidest thing I've done. But no, not the stupidest. I've done lots more. Oh, excuse me. I'm not supposed to say that word. Foolish thing I've done. And so, we're just not that sophisticated. But fortunately, she got in the program. We bought some stock. And, every once in a while when I was bored, this is back in the mid-80s, I'd pay attention to what it did. And then for those of you that are old like me, you remember what happened, or should remember what happened on October 19th, 1987. Anyone remember October 19th, 1987? Larry remembers. Okay, Joanne remembers. Actually, the largest drop, one-day drop, percentage drop in stock market history. On October 19th, 1987, the stock market lost more than 22% of its value. It only dropped about 500 points. And on today, it does that over lunch. But in those days, when the stock market was peaking out at about 1,700 and it went down to whatever, it was bad. And I remember, you didn't have the internet back then. Al Gore hadn't invented it. I remember figuring out how many hundreds of dollars Vicki and I lost in that one day. And that was a depressing weekend because, our IBM stock, that was where our salvation was. And then, somewhere over the weekend, I found out how much Sam Walton lost. Sam's Club, Walmart, Mr. Sam. Sam Walton, on October 19th, 1987, lost over $1 billion. He was the richest man in the world at that time. Bill Gates was still just trying to get Microsoft off the ground. He lost $1 billion. Now, some of you that are trivia buffs, you know what happened to the stock market on Monday, October 21st. It rebounded and got back about half of the value. So I guess on that Monday, Walton gained back about a half a billion. But we'll just focus on Friday, okay? He lost $1 billion that day. Worst financial day of his life so far. Do you know what his absolute worst financial day was? It happened in 1992. It was the day he died. His assets went from about $12 billion to zero. Worst financial day of anyone's life is the day you die. You know why? You don't take it with you. I've done funerals. And, you may not know it unless you've done a funeral lately or had someone in your family die lately. But did you know that a lot of coffins now, they actually have this little hidden drawer there that's right above the guy's tummy. When they close it down, there's this little hidden drawer. And you can put stuff in it. And I forget, the morticians have a name for it, but I forget what it is called. And it's really interesting sometimes because I'm the preacher and I get to see kind of the ins and outs of it. I get to see sometimes what people put in there. A favorite pen, a picture, whatever. I haven't seen any cash in there. But people put stuff in there. Well, you know what? No matter what you put in there, it ain't going with you. You lose it all. Your assets go to zero. You know, there's a well-known saying or well-known story that when one of the Vanderbilts died, you know, Vanderbilts, the huge, you know, wealthy, mega rich people, one of the family members that wasn't quite as tactful as the rest of them, when he saw one of the lawyers leaving the estate, he said, "Hey, how much did he leave?" And the guy said, "He left it all. He didn't take any of it with him." That's the truth. You don't take it with you. And I don't know what you have. Maybe you got a lot. Maybe you got a little. But the truth of the matter is, you don't take it with you. That's just the way life works. That's the system that God has set up. There's a great Korean proverb. When a man dies on earth, they ask what he left. But in heaven, they asked what he sent ahead. That's actually the point that Jesus is going to make in the passage of Scripture we're going to look at today. So I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Now, for those of you that are, maybe this is your first Sunday, we are working our way through what is called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is kind of an interesting sermon that Jesus preached. It was actually his most well-known sermon, his greatest sermon. And his primary purpose in preaching this sermon was to tell us how to be kingdom citizens. You see, Jesus came preaching, repent, get right with God, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's the king. If they would accept him as king, the kingdom would commence. Well, they didn't accept him as king. They crucified him. He left with the promise that he's going to come back and establish the kingdom. Acts 1. But much of what he taught while he was here on earth, he taught so that we who did know who he was, we could live as kingdom citizens now. You see, I don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till the kingdom commences to live as a kingdom citizen now. This is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. He says, "Don't you know your citizenship is in heaven? This world's not your home. You are like an alien living here. And you are to be a kingdom citizen here and now." If you know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, if you have come to the place in your life where you have accepted what He did for you on the cross, and you know that on the day of your death, it is going to be absent from the body and face to face with Jesus Christ, you're a kingdom citizen. You're not a citizen of this world. You are a citizen of heaven. And Jesus, in much of His teaching, was telling us how to be kingdom citizens here and now. The Sermon on the Mount is a great sermon on this topic because it tells us, you know, how to get rid of our anger as a kingdom citizen. It tells us how to deal with our passions as a kingdom citizen. It tells us how to deal with that nasty thing we call lying as kingdom citizens. It tells us how to function when people are taking advantage of us and we're not getting our rights. I mean, all of these wonderful things. It even tells us how to go to church. You know, last week we learned about how to pray, how to give, how to fast, how to do these religious, spiritual things that you have to do in front of people. He says, don't do them for the show of men, because if you do, you got your reward in full. Do them as kingdom citizens. And do them for the glory of God. Well, I want you to look at the passage we're going to look at today. It starts in verse 19 and it goes down to verse 24. And I want to just read it for you, okay? Here's what he says. "Now, do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, the lamp of the body is the eye. And if therefore your eye is clear, your whole body is going to be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is in darkness, whoa, man, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. You know, either you're going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to hold to the one and you'll despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, in this little paragraph of Jesus' sermon, what he basically said is this. Here's the point he's making. He's saying, kingdom citizens invest in heaven. They take their resources and invest them in heaven. He mostly here is talking about our money, but, you know, I think you could talk about all kinds of resources. I mean, today, the two most valuable resources that we have are our money and our time. What you do with your money, what you do with your time. Those are the two most valuable things that are in most all of our lives. And what Jesus is saying here is, lay up those treasures in heaven. In other words, invest in heaven. Don't invest them here on earth. It's kind of interesting. Look at verse 19. He said, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Okay, today, you know, we've got stocks, we've got bonds, you know, precious metals, land. You know, you can invest in a lot of things. But back in Jesus' day, there really was only three kinds of investments. Clothes, it's kind of interesting. Clothes, grain, and then precious metals. Then here's the problem that Jesus said. Why invest in heaven? It's not going to last here on earth. See, you need to invest in heaven because if you invest here, it will not last. Because this is what happens. Moths will ruin clothes. You see, we don't think of clothes as an investment. That's because today you can buy clothes relatively cheap. I mean, even the really expensive clothes is relatively cheap in the big picture. But in Jesus' day, a coat, for example, a good coat, that thing retained its value. That was something you passed down. Remember at the very end of 2 Timothy in chapter 4, right at the end when Paul is kind of giving Timothy some instructions, hey, do this for me, do that for me, say hi to this person, I want you to do this, and by the way, bring that. Paul asked him to bring two things. Bring the parchments, which we think is Paul's personal copy of the Old Testament, because that's how much of the Bible they had at that time. And he says, bring me that coat. I mean, a coat was a valuable asset. You know, I look in my closet and I got, you know, too many coats. I need to keep giving them away. But in that day, you could have a coat and you could put big money into a coat. And boy, if times got really tough, remember the passage a couple weeks ago about, you know, take someone's coat. If you're defaulting on the loan, they'd come and take your coat. Why? Because a coat's a valuable asset. But here's the problem with coats. Moths eat them. You know, if you're a farmer and you got grain, you could pile it all up. Remember the story Jesus told about the guy that wanted to tear down his barns and build bigger barns? Why? Because he wanted to get all his grain gathered together. But what happens to grain? Sometimes mice get in there and eat it. You know, back in those days, they did like gold and silver and precious metals. But marauders, thieves, could steal it. And so what Jesus is saying there in verse 19, as he's saying, You need to invest in heaven. And the reason you need to invest in heaven is because in heaven, it will last. It will last. See, now I want you to think about this. How do we know in heaven it'll last? It's by faith. I mean, we just got to take God's word for it. If I use my money, my resources for the kingdom, for heaven, it will be an investment that will last for eternity. Well, how do I know that? If I take some of my precious time and use it for the kingdom, how do I know it's going to pay off in the future? How do I know that if I take some of my hard-earned money and invest it in the kingdom, how do I know that it's going to pay off in the future? How do I know that it'll last? You know why you know? The Bible tells you. This is one of those things that you just got to believe. You say, well, I ain't going to believe that. Why would you believe that? Why would you not believe that if you believe that some guy that they crucified 2,000 years ago, his death counts for you to get you into heaven? If you're going to believe Jesus about the significance of his death, you ought to believe Jesus about the use of your money and the use of your time. See, I think a lot of times we sit there and we look and it's like, yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, the Bible talks about that, sending it ahead and you know, lay up for your treasures in heaven. You know, but I don't know. You know, I'm not sure it really pays. I mean, I've seen people that have given and given and given and sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed. And I mean, at the end of their life, they didn't seem like they were that much different, except they were a little poorer than the guy who didn't, you know, because he had more to pass down. How do I know that's true? Well, you know, it does. It boils down to one of these faith issues. Let me tell you a story. There was this older couple, and you know, the kids were gone, and the wife got a cat, and she loved the cat. She was a cat person. He was a dog person. And if you know the difference between cat people and dog people, you know that cat people, you know, love their cats, and dog people really don't like cats. Okay. Well, this guy, he was a dog person, but his wife had this wonderful, loving cat. And you know, the kids are grown and gone, and I mean, she just coddled the cat. She loved the cat. She groomed the cat. The cat would sleep at the end of their bed, and you know, sometimes the cat would, you know, in the morning if they were oversleeping, the cat would get up there and do that wonderful thing where they stick their tail in your face and all that stuff. And you know, the wife loved it, and the husband loved his wife, but didn't love the cat, if you know what I'm talking about. And so one day, the wife went off to visit the kids. You know, they lived in another town, and so she went off, and you know, the guy is there with the cat, and she had left, you know, like 10 pages of instructions about how to take care of the cat, and you know, and he's like, food, that's it. Okay, that's all the cat's getting. And one day the cat just, you know, was so annoying, he decided, okay, so he put the cat outside where his bulldog was, because he's a dog man, okay? And the cat was out there, and you know, the cat did the normal thing, rah! You know? And the cat starts running and running and running around, and he's just enjoying the show because finally his bulldog, who has wanted to get at this cat forever, finally had his opportunity. Well, the bulldog never caught the cat, but when he brought the cat back in, the cat literally, you know, this is a technical term, the cat was freaking out. And the cat had a heart attack. And he's like, oh. You know, and the cat dies. And he's like, oh man, what am I going to do? And so, you know, he thought, well, so he just decided he'd take the cat and take it to one of those pet cemeteries and bury it. And when his wife got home from the trip, he just never said anything. And she just kept looking all over the house. Where's that cat? I miss that cat. And, you know, and, okay, he was not good. He should have listened to that sermon about lying and deceiving a couple weeks ago, but he didn't do it, okay? And he just never said anything. And his wife was just, you know, she was so distraught about her cat. And he said, listen, honey, you know, why don't we put an ad in the paper? And she said, oh, would you do that? And he said, yeah, I'll take care of it. So he calls the paper and they take an ad out in the paper. And they don't get any bites out of it. And then he said, you know, let's put a reward on it. And so he offers $25. And she's like, $25? And he goes, okay, we'll make it $100. And so he makes $100. And, you know, people were calling and all that stuff. But, you know, obviously the cat wasn't showing up. Okay? And then she was like, I miss my... And he goes, look, honey, I love you. I love anything you love. You know, and he's saying that kind of tongue-in-cheek too. And so he says, okay, $1,000. And so he puts a reward out for this cat for $1,000. And that, you know, Friday night they were having some people from their community group over and the wife was just, you know, talking about her cat, but she was just singing her husband's praises because, did you know he took out an ad in the paper and was offering $1,000 reward for anyone that would find their cat? And, you know, everyone's like, oh, and all the wives are going, oh, and all the guys are going, what? And so, you know, as it happens in church functions, you know, the women went to the kitchen and talked, and the guys, you know, kind of went to where they go to talk. And as soon as the last wife got out of earshot, one of the guys goes, $1,000? Are you kidding? What are you doing? And the guy looks at him and he says, look, when you know what I know, you can be very generous. Okay? Okay, you got to laugh. I only tell about one joke a year. So, you know, come on. You can do better than that. Okay. Here's the deal, folks. When you know what we know, you can spend your money the way you're supposed to. I mean, when you know that what Jesus said is true, that when you lay up a treasure in heaven, even though here on earth it may never look like it paid big bucks, you can go to the bank on it. See, this is one of those things. If you're going to believe Jesus about I'm the way, the truth, and the life, you can believe what he says about the money you got at Regions, Bank Corp, Wells Fargo, wherever you got it. Jesus said, lay it up in heaven, because in heaven, a moth's not going to eat it, a mouse isn't going to destroy it, some marauder's not going to come in and steal it. It will last in heaven. It will last in heaven. You know what else he said? And I really kind of looked for a word on this, and I'm not real happy with the word I came up with. But you know what the other thing he said? It tethers. And again, I spent a long time looking for the word, and like I'm not sure I really like it. But do you guys remember what tetherball is? Tetherball? If you want to see a tetherball, go down there. This is another one of Andy's secret weapons with his soccer team. He put a tetherball down there next to the soccer field. And I've always noticed that every time my soccer team practiced, the tetherball happens to be there. Because my kids would much rather play tetherball than practice soccer. And I noticed that when his team is out there, the tetherball's, you know, put away. So, but what does a tetherball do, okay? That there's a ball and it's got a rope tied to the top of that pole. And you can hit that ball as hard as you want. And unless the rope breaks, you know, which happens, you know, after a while. But unless that rope breaks, that ball is just continually circling, revolving, rope around that pole. And actually, the more and more it goes, the tighter it gets in. See, when you send your money to heaven, when you invest your time, your talent, your treasure in heaven, it draws your heart to heaven. It draws your heart to heaven. See what Jesus said in verse 21? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, if you got the bulletin, there's a little insert in it And on the back side of the insert, you know, over this last, throughout this series, we've been putting suggestions that you ought to do to kind of help make this a little bit more meaningful, a little more personal, a little more practical. You know, there's two things that are listed there of things that, okay, maybe you can't get to them this week, but you ought to get to them as soon as you can. You ought to do two analyses. Because our money and our time are our two most valuable assets. I challenge you to analyze, where's your money going? And number two, where's your time going? Let me just talk about the second one, time. Okay, there's 168 hours in the week. Most of us probably sleep somewhere around seven hours a night. So that's 70 hours. That leaves about 100 hours that we're awake. Okay, if you got a job, a full-time job, you know, there goes 40 to 50 hours. Sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. That still leaves 50 hours a week, even with a full-time job. What are you doing with it? Oh man, I work in Awana. Okay, there's an hour and a half. What about the other 48 and a half hours? Oh, I get up and read my Bible. I mean, 15 minutes every day. Okay, well, okay, there's 2.5 or 3 at most. Okay, now we're down to 43 hours. What are you doing with those other 43 hours? I mean, what do you do with your time? You want to make sure that that time that you have is invested in heaven. It's invested in heaven. Because see, in heaven, whatever you do, it's going to last. And wherever you put your time, that's what your heart is going to be drawn to. My goodness, I'll tell you what, if you spend your time on fantasy football, you're going to be drawn to football. It's going to be something you're going to think about. You're going to get out your smartphone and you're going to be seeing, you know, are they really saying Romo's hurt or is he just faking? You know, I mean, you are all into it. Because wherever you put your time, I mean, if you put your time in soccer, you put your time in football, you put your time in the stock market, you put your time in your children, you put your time in your yard, that's where your heart is going to be. That's just a truism, that verse 21. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If you put your time into a certain thing, and you put a lot of time into that certain thing, you're going to eventually love it. I mean, it's kind of interesting to me. I've seen that in people's lives. And it's like people will, you know, it's like they're initially exposed to something. They don't like it. Oh, that's terrible. This is what I really want. But, you know, maybe just because of the circumstances of their life, they really have to stay there and be exposed to that. And I've seen over the course of a couple years, they love that which they used to despise. Why? Because their most important thing, time, is being invested in this thing. And where your time is, that's where your heart is eventually going to go. Where your treasure is, there's where your heart is. Where your money is. Analyze what you're doing with your money. I mean, you know, I looked it up this last week. According to Google, and we all can trust Google, the average household income is $53,000 and some change. The average household income is $53,000 and some change. And I'll just be honest. Looking around this room, our average is significantly higher. But you sit and think about that. Let's just keep it at $50,000. In 20 years, that's without any raises, without any cost of living, you're going to have $1 million pass through your hands. What are you going to do with that $1 million? If you work 40 years, you're going to have $2 million. You know, you raise the average up to 75. I mean, you're going to have lots of money pass through your hands. What are you investing in it? And what are you investing it in? Where your treasure is, that's what your heart is. I mean, I've seen it. You know, the things that we spend our time on, the things we spend our resources on, our money, our emotional energy, that's what we learn to love. That's where our heart goes. You spend enough time with that person, you spend enough time in that activity, you'll learn to love it. It's just a truism, Jesus is saying. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If you want to love the kingdom and you want to do something valuable for the kingdom, you need to now intentionally invest your resources, your time, your money, your emotions, your energies, your creativity in kingdom type things. And when you're doing those things, the things you have to do that are part of life, when you start doing them as a kingdom citizen, you're selling this widget, you're designing this project, you're managing these people, but I'm managing them as a kingdom citizen. I don't want to be just a teacher. I want to be a kingdom teacher. And I want to illustrate to them what a kingdom citizen looks like. I want to write this thing as a kingdom citizen. Then you're going to be doing things that will last. You're going to be doing things that will continually draw your heart closer and closer and closer to the King of the kingdom. You know, look at the last three lines there. He closes it out with two illustrations. The first illustration is kind of tough to get, but actually once you get the key to it, it's really good. The first one is about poor perception. Okay? It's having a clear vision of this concept of investing in the kingdom, of investing in heaven. See, he says, verse 22, he says, "The lamp of the body is your eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light." See, you know, you can deal it, illustrate right here what Jesus is talking about. If your eyes are open, this room is light. You close your eyes, it's dark. Your eyes are what let the light in. When your vision is not as clear as it should be, your sense of reality is warped. You start thinking some other things are true. You know, if I was to use the language of the book that we're kind of using, you start believing false narratives. But what he's saying is when you can see clearly, you've got great light coming into your life. And what is it that you're supposed to see clearly? This principle that he said there in verse 19. That you're supposed to lay up treasures on earth. Or lay up treasures in heaven. That's what you're to see clearly. But you and I, because we're moving along and because we don't necessarily see the big dividends, I mean, it's really easy to start perceiving fault and error. And notice at the end of verse 23, he says, if therefore the light that is in you is darkness, I love the last part of that. How great is the darkness? What he's saying there is if your vision about this wise use of your resources, if it's obscured, man, you're in a heap of trouble. I mean, it's dark. It's really going to be dark. You're going to sit and think, anything and everything I do for the kingdom is an absolute waste. Whether it's cash you stick in or whether it's a check you stick in, you're going to be like, we're just giving it away. It ain't going to pay anything. If it's time you're investing, it's like, well, that's kind of a waste of time. Yeah, I watched someone's kid or I taught something. It's kind of a waste. And it's very easy to sit and think, you know, I mean, if I could get away from that stuff, that'd free up about 6 or 7 hours. What in the world could you do with 6 or 7 hours? Man, I could accomplish a lot if I could give up this church stuff. I mean, you know, Andy and me are the only ones that really have a vested interest in hanging in here because we get paid to be here. The rest of you, you're just here, and it's like you probably could sit and think, man, What would I do with Wednesday nights? What would I do with Sunday mornings? What would I do without Thursday mornings? What would I do without? And it'd be so easy to just get in and start thinking, man, life would be so much easier. I mean, that easily free up, you know, for those of you that are really involved, free up 8-9 hours a week. I mean, that is that ace day that I've been looking for. And what does Jesus say? Man, when your vision is so messed up, that's how dark you really can get. When you start thinking, you potentially could start thinking that everything for the kingdom is a waste. And that's when your whole life just spirals out. But you know what the point Jesus is really making? Look at the screen here. Without a kingdom focus, you are wasting your resources. The world may not tell you that. It may not be measurable, because we love to measure everything. But if you're going to go to the bank about He's the way, the truth, and the life, you need to go to the bank about your money, your time, your energy, your emotions. And Jesus is saying, without a kingdom focus, if you're not doing it for the kingdom, in line with the kingdom, as part of the kingdom building, you're wasting your time. That couple $1 million I was talking about, the average people are going to have, you wasted it. You wasted it. That 50 hours that you have, because you slept 70, you worked 50, you got another 50, that 50 hours and even that 50 at work, it was a waste. It was a waste of time. If you're not doing it for the kingdom, if you're not doing it as a kingdom citizen, I don't care whether the kids in your class get A's, I don't care whether your employer looks at it and says, this is going to save us millions of dollars. I don't care whether your wife looks at it and says, you've made me the happiest person on earth. If you didn't do it for the kingdom in a kingdom way, it was a waste. It was a waste. That's what Jesus is saying. You have slipped into utter darkness. I mean, if there's anything we need to get into our head is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, lay up treasures in heaven where the moth and the rust and the thieves don't get it. You've got to invest in heaven. Look at the next illustration. It's in verse 24, these monopolizing masters. No one can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one, love the other, or he's going to hold to the one, but despise the other. You can't ride two horses at the same time. I mean, how would you feel? Now, some of you probably actually would like this, but how would you feel if it came out that President Obama, you know, on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights, was delivering pizzas up there in Washington, D.C.? You know, and someone said, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, hey, you know what? I just found out I'm going to be out of a job in 2 years. And I got two kids that want to go to college. And my wife, she hadn't worked for years. She's a stay-at-home mom. And she's spending all her time in volunteer work anyway. And so, you know, I got to get some things going. I mean, we'd be like, come on. I mean, Papa John's, really? No. I mean, we look and we can understand this. I mean, when you are serving something, you are all in. You can't ride two horses at the same time. And what Jesus is saying is, you can't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot on the earth. You're a kingdom citizen. Live like a kingdom citizen. Because here's the point he's making. Without that kingdom commitment, you won't accomplish anything of eternal value. I mean, you may spend 40 years working for that company, working at that thing, building your nest egg, doing it. But if you did it for something other than the kingdom, you didn't accomplish anything. Oh, on earth, you might have 3, 4, 5, 10 million bucks saved up, and your kids and your grandkids are like, oh man, this is going to be great. You know, can't wait till we get to put him in one of those boxes with those hidden drawers. But here's the deal. From Jesus' perspective, you can't serve this world. You can't serve money. You can't serve your time and God. It's either or. It's a binary decision. You can't have them both. There's no D that says all of the above. Either you will love the one and despise the other, or you will hold dear to the one and forget the other. Lay up your treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. I mean, Jesus understood. You got bills, you've got things you got to do, you've got a plan, you got to be strategic. I mean, the Proverbs are all about all those wonderful stewardship things. I mean, it's all about, you know, you go to some passages and they talk about, you know, using money to relax, to entertain, etc. All of that stuff's part of the package. But even that stuff, even the money I send to SWEPCO or to Central Gas or whatever they call themselves, the Gazette, the Bancorp South to pay my mortgage, all of that money needs to be kingdom money spent for kingdom purposes. This house I'm buying needs to be a kingdom house, and I'm using it to be a place where I can build a marriage that glorifies God, that raises kids for the glory of God, that I pull people into it and I entertain them and help them for the glory of God so that they could be better kingdom citizens. If it is just there for Richard or there for Vicky, it's a waste. It's a waste. And we can work our tail off. And in the end, Jesus will say, you accomplished nothing. And that's true for you too. What are you using your stuff for? What are you using your stuff for? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I mean, everything, your education, your work, your time, your giftedness needs to be for the kingdom. Because if it's not for the kingdom, it will not last. Your heart will drift away from the King of the kingdom. Moths will eat it. Mice will destroy it. Marauders will steal it. In the end, in the big picture, you wasted your life. You didn't accomplish anything. But on the flip side, what does Jesus say? You give a cup of cold water in my name, you did it for me. You invest in my kingdom, I pay rich dividends. I used to like the game of Monopoly. Until I played it with Vicky. I remember I don't think we were married yet, but I was at her parents' house and her brother was there, Steve, and someone had the bright idea, let's play Monopoly. I was bankrupt in about 12 minutes, and then I watched Vicky and Steve continue to try to kill each other for 3 hours. I mean, she ruined me on board games. I mean, I just, you know, our marriage is so much better because we've not become game people. Because she always wins, okay? She's just good at that stuff. And the thing that's interesting about Monopoly is what happens. At the end of the game, all the money gets put back in the box, and the box gets closed, gets put back on the shelf until someone has a foolish idea of let's play it again. In a way, folks, that's how this life is. You got 70 years, 80 years. If you're like my mom, you got 93 years and counting. But at the end,
It all gets put back in the box, except what you put sent ahead of your time, your talent, your treasures. What are you sending ahead? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that today we would get it. For there's so many times we listen to sermons and we go through passages and, oh, that sounded good. He worded that well. Used the same letter for all those points. Father, I pray today we would get it. Help us, each and every one of us, no matter what we do for a living, help us to recognize that what we really do for a living is for the kingdom. Father, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, the things we get so stirred up emotionally about. Father, help us to be kingdom people. Father, I do pray that our hearts really would be tethered to the King. And that every way we spend our resources, Father, would just draw us closer and closer and closer to You. I want us to sing this song together. I'm going to sing three verses.